Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Houston Pit Bulls and Bully Talk Radio. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas. If you are tuned in via the web, feel free to call in and join our question and answer session for the second half of the show. 516-387-1955. This show is a further branch of our Facebook group, Houston Pit Bulls and Bullies. So make sure if you haven't already that you add us and you join us for future shows as well. We have a lot planned for you coming soon. So this is just kind of serving as an introduction of what we have going on, as well as what we want to do with this show and our group. So our Facebook group, Houston Pit Bulls and Bullies, is an amazing group that we have started. It's been there for years. We're trying to get it up and going with an admin team that is devoted to working diligently, not only to run this group terrifically, but also to strive to promote the bully breeds, education, and all things bully related. So our goal is to give the community a great place to talk about, learn about, and buy quality registered bullies and bully related supplies. So if you sell collars, leads, or anything else bully-related, feel free to advertise on our page. We want to make sure that we're getting your business out there, especially if it's got to do with bullies. So now what we want to go into is our dog of the week. So every week we're going to have a contest posted. I posted this contest yesterday, so it was a little late. So we're going to post it tomorrow and have it run through the week for the future. Next Saturday, we'll be on air live again, so we'll be announcing the week's winner next Saturday as well. So this week's dog of the week is one-year-old Priscilla, belonging to Ashley Hawes. She's a beautiful girl that was posted there and got the most likes this week, so congratulations to Ashley and Priscilla. In the future, when we run this contest, all you have to do is post one entry per person, so a dog or a puppy that you have that you want to put out there, and the dog with the most likes wins. If we have some close winners towards the end, we may put up a poll and let you guys pick, but it's always based on who you think is the best dog out there. So make sure to add your friends to the Houston Pit Bulls and Bullies group. You can tag them in the reply section under your entry picture to help you win. So good luck this week, and thanks to all who participated. Again, congrats to Ashley and Priscilla. There are definitely some beautiful dogs out there. In our future shows, we definitely will have some more hosts joining us. We have Star, Cindy, and Erica that are going to join me. We are going to highlight upcoming litters. Anybody who has bully items that have supported the group, we're also going to put you out here. And some show and training tips, as well as nutrition information. And just a little bit, we're going to go live with some Q&A from callers. So make sure that you call in and join us. Remember that that number is 516-719-55. Now, just a minute for this week. Let's talk a little bit about nutrition. Our admin team has been doing some research on raw feeding. We've given you some pieces of that on our bully group, Pit Bulls and Bullies of Houston. So Houston Pit Bulls and Bullies, make sure you add that group. We've made some posts here and there about raw feeding. I know a while back we made a post about some of the top worst foods. Now, when you're picking out your dog's food, sometimes price is an issue, and that's understandable, but what you really want to look at is the quality of what you're giving your dog. Some people eat healthy, some, you know, eat anything. Just like with people's nutrition, a nutrition for a dog is going to be important. So you want to make sure that you're giving the dog the best thing that you can. I know one of the important ingredients is protein. A digestible meat should be in the top ingredients of a dog food. Most commercial brand foods are going to have cornmeal or byproducts. So that could serve as an issue for allergies with dogs who can't handle grains. It could also
does not sit well with your dog. On top of the fact that you want to think about whether that dog's getting the nutrients that it deserves, as well as the basically the poo that it produces. It's going to affect the smell, it's going to affect how much, and what you have to deal with on the back end. So Dog Digest put out something recently with some of the 10 worst dog foods. Now, kibble is out there in the market. When we say kibble, we're talking dry foods. Some people don't feed dry foods. They feed raw, and that's something we'll get into in future shows as well as in our group. So make sure if you haven't added our group, Houston Pitbulls and Bullies. Now, there's always a debate on which food's the best and which food they feed and which food they feel like they should go with. I'm just going to go with the 10 worst foods that Dog Digest put out recently for 2016. This is nothing coming from me. This is completely based on their research of ingredients. So in those top dog foods of the worst kibble on the market, number 10 was Beneful by Purina. Number 9 and 8 were Dog Chow and Vet Diet, also by Purina. So obviously the Purina brand is known on their ingredients to feature byproducts, corn, and things that aren't necessarily in top nutrition for dogs. Coming up after that, you had Kibbles and Bits, and then Old Roy, good old Roy, they took number 5 on that list, or number 6, I'm sorry. Number 5 was Pedigree, 4 being Iams, 3 was Alpo, and there was a close call for 2 and 1. 2 was Calcan, and number 1 worst dog food on the market was Gravy Train. Now, some of the reasons some of these dog foods took that top 10 list was partially because of their ingredients. Well, mainly because their ingredients. You have byproducts. You have cornmeal. You have all these things that aren't going to benefit your dog in getting nutrients, as well as those who suffer from grain allergies. These are definitely going to be something that you don't want to feed your dog. Now, our group is the focus on education. We're focusing on the bully breed promotion. We want to put it out there for people to be able to get knowledge like this and have healthier dogs, have dogs that are happy and living longer lives. So if you're feeding one of these foods, you might want to look into those ingredients on that list. Most of these can be found at Walmart. I know we all shop at Walmart. It's a great place to be able to get things all at once and be done. But if you take that extra effort to research your dog's food, to look into your dog's food, and to make sure that you're feeding the best thing that your dog could get, you're definitely going to benefit from it in the long run. Our admin team's been doing a lot of research on raw feeding, and we are going to give you bits and pieces of information here and there as we do more and more research about the benefits of raw, as well as what we can do to help put together a raw diet for people to try to pick up on. Now, when you're talking kibble, dry food again, with the bully community, there are some names that always come to mind as top foods that people pick. If someone puts out a question and asks, you know, hey, what's a good dog food to feed my dog to bulk it up? Now, one, genetics is going to play a big part in bulking your dog up. And two, obviously the nutrition it takes in is definitely going to be important. So when we say kibble out there, a lot of people are going to bring up Diamond, Victor, and Sports Mix, usually as among the top 3 basic dog foods that you find at the feed store, Tractor Supply. Now, there are a lot of people who definitely put out there for those higher grade foods that you'll need to go to Petco, PetSmart for, whether it's Blue Buffalo or Horizon or whatever the case may be, Acana, Taste of the Wild. You have people who support those as well. Everyone finds something that suits their dog. I know there's dogs out there that I've seen that just won't eat any type of food. They're very picky eaters, or they have allergies. So that's something you want to take into consideration too. But one thing we're going to continue to research and give you information on is raw feeding. Because if you look at the ancestry of dogs, yes, I know today they're domesticated pets, but where they began was in the wild. And in the wild, they're not going to go to the store and have dog food. So obviously, what they chose to eat is their natural hunting instincts of prey and raw meat. So you feed your dog raw. I would love to hear from you on some of the things that you include. If you have success with any type of kibble, I would love to hear from you too of kind of recommendations that you want to throw out there to the community. I can tell you I've tried personally with my dogs and a whole array of different foods and had different results, some with different dogs. So it really also depends on your dog individually. So what I want to do is I would like to hear from some of the callers and see if we can't get some information coming in on what you think, what you feed, and what you feel like you've had success with when it comes to nutrition with your dog.
Yes. My name is Kepo out of West Virginia. I usually feed liver to my dog. It's a good source of vitamin A. I hear a lot of good feedback about the reproductive areas. It keeps them healthy and fertile and whatnot. I've also feed raw cow heart. That's more of a meat. From what I've learned is you got to have it portioned properly. I think with the live organs, it's around 5% of the meal. Got to have the calcium, which is going to be the raw bone. You can't serve cooked bones, but the raw bone is good for them. Calcium, I think that's around 10%, and the rest is going to be meat and probably some vegetables. It's kind of portioned out, but that's just from my experience. Also, the dog's intestines is not designed for grain foods. But that's just from my experience. I really don't have much on it. I'm trying to listen as much as I can for information from you, but so far it sounds pretty good.
Can't just feed all meat or all bone. If you have too much bone, you're going to have more white in the poo. That signifies that there's too much bone going on. Cooked bone is definitely a no-no. I know a lot of people have heard no chicken bones. Well, no cooked chicken bones. Anytime a chicken bone is cooked, it chances splintering, which can get stuck in intestines and cause big issues. So raw chicken bones breaks down and chews up just like any other bone. Not to mention that chewing on bones also helps to clean a dog's teeth. So it definitely has multiple benefits. You mentioned organ meat. Organ meat's definitely got to be a percentage of that. I haven't tried cow hearts myself. I saw them in a store recently, so that's something I might want to pick up from you and try myself. I know my dogs love chicken livers, chicken hearts, even my little Pomeranians. I have bullies and Pomeranians, so even they like their freeze-dried chicken hearts as treats. So definitely good input. Let's see who else we have on the line and what you feed your dog and your results. Let me get this to click in real quick for you.
Yeah, someone else called in at an 832 number. I don't know if they had any input or they're just listening. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I can tell you my experiences, at least with kibble. What I like to do is to, every so often, maybe every year or so, I will actually kind of change the kibble. Because I noticed over time that you start to see kind of a fade in the results, whether your dog kind of starts to lose interest, whether they start to grow differently, because obviously if you start as a puppy, your dog's going to grow, and sometimes they change just like people do. I've tried Diamond, I've tried Victor, I've tried Sports Mix. I have tried a lot on the market. I definitely try to stay away from those foods like Purina and things like that that focus on byproducts and focus on corn. Now, I know not all the ones that I mentioned I've used are completely, you know, grain-free and all of that. However, they are among some of the top mentions when you ask bully breeders of what they feed. Let's see if I can get this going here. Sorry for the disruption.
Yes, sir.
All right, so those of you who are tuned in to our online show, feel free to call in. Remember that call-in number if you don't see it on there, 516-387-1955. 516-387-1955. I'd love to hear from you today. Now, next week, we're going to have more hosts here with me. Fortunately, they weren't able to join us today, but I will have my co-hosts here on the show, and we will be talking bullies every week for you guys, as well as daily on our Facebook page. So make sure you add that Facebook page, Houston Pit Bulls and Bullies. Let's see if my handy-dandy sound guy has me a caller. We got somebody calling in?
Yeah, I have a caller over here, but I just had a quick question about these. What's your definition of a backyard breeder, if you don't mind touching on that?
Backyard breeders. That's definitely a topic that comes up a lot. My personal definition and what I tend to go by is someone who cuts corners, someone who doesn't do everything that's beneficial for the breed, for their dogs personally, and for what's best for the community in a way. Number one sign, unregistered dogs. I don't understand personally the point of breeding a dog that you've picked up somewhere, you have no known lineages to it, you hardly know, you know, maybe what the parents look like, so you don't know any health problems that you could be creating. Knowing the lineage of your dog, having your dog registered, you can trace back. A lot of breeders are going to put many, many, many hours into research, researching the dogs and lines it came from, researching the health problems that could exist, because one thing you don't want to do is to continue perpetuating problems in the community. You don't want to have these health problems that you know are in your lines and you breed anyways. Another thing with backyard breeding that I've found is the basic care of the dogs. You want to make sure that your dogs are up to date on shots, that you are giving them any kind of care necessary along the way, as well as heartworm treatment. Now, we are in the south down here in Houston. We are among that Gulf Coast region that heartworms are very prevalent. So that's one thing I definitely want to stress that's going to help continue the life and health of your dog is heartworm treatment. There's several different ways that you can do that treatment, whether it's the monthly pill, whether you're using ivermectin in a pure form. Either way it goes, you need to make sure that you test your dog first before administering any kind of treatment, because there are certain heartworm pills as well as that pure ivermectin that you cannot give to a heartworm-positive dog. It will kill or make them very sick. I have a rescue girl, and she is heartworm-positive, and the detrimental effects of that is basically the growth of worms that encompass their heart. It's a sad situation to see happen. They begin to lose weight. They can't be very, very active once they get to a progressed stage because it does stress their heart. There are cures. I mean, there are ways to handle heartworms. One way is a series of shots. You have a series of three shots. One's given, you have the first one, you have the second one a month later, and then you have the third one, I believe 24 to 48 hours, I want to say it's 20, after that second shot. Now, when they get the shots, you have to keep them still and kenneled, so that way they're not creating a lot of stress on their heart, and it basically kills off the worms. This shot method I chose not to do on my girl because from what I researched and read, it's harsh on their bodies. It doesn't always work, and you could have the very bad negative effect of losing the dog. Now, what my vet recommends is now they give you kind of a steroid to get you going in the beginning, and you start them on regular monthly heartworm treatment. And every month you give them that on time, and the lifespan of a heartworm is going to be anywhere from 2 to 5 years. So if you continue that treatment of that monthly heartworm medicine,
it keeps the new worms from growing and keeps them from reproducing. And eventually, the worms that are already existent are going to die off with their natural lifespan. And that's going to help the dog to recover. It is a much longer process. However, it's something that is less invasive and less harsh on the dog than the shot series. And what you choose to do is definitely personal preference. I chose not to put the dog through the shot series because of the things that I read about it. But if you read it and you feel like, it's this percentage, it's not that bad, if your vet recommends it for your dog, it's totally up to you as a dog owner to decide on your own what you want to do. Now, I have been doing some research into something that's a little different when it comes to heartworms. And the research is plenty online as far as testimonials about things being looked into for this. And what that is as crazy as it sounds, is Guinness Dark Label Beer. The black label of Guinness. Only that type, not any type of beer, would work, and it's a very, very small dosage. But there's research online that says the hops in that beer is what would help kill off the heartworms, and that you would give this dosage every 2 weeks and then use it as a monthly treatment. Now, I'm still doing my research in this to see, you know, the legitimacy, to see the success rates, to see kind of how it works and the process of it before I try it on my rescue girl. I feel like it's a lot less invasive. It definitely isn't going to be enough to get her drunk or to kill her or hurt her in any type of way because the dosage is extremely small, but it's enough to supposedly treat the heartworms. Now, I'll definitely give you guys an update in some months as time goes by if I do decide to do this and try it out, but I'd like to continue that research a little bit more. So when you're talking backyard breeders, basic care like heartworm medicine, having registered dogs, the research that goes into it, not just putting any two dogs together that look cute, and the investment that you have. Breeding dogs is not a money-making industry. This is not something you want to get into if you feel like it's a quick buck, because it's not. If you're investing in your dogs, if you're putting in the care and the quality and the food and the things that a dog needs to have that top-notch lifestyle in when it comes to litters and you're investing in them and you're making sure you do their shots and wormings and everything that comes along with supplies and necessities and C-sections and anything else I can't think of off the top of my head that goes along with breeding, you're not going to make money on it. And anytime you do, a lot of times that goes right back into dog supplies and right back into things you need. Those are some things that I can think off the top of my head that, to me, kind of firsthand define backyard breeder. Now, there's other things that could go along with it, but those are some of the top things that come to my mind is health, registry, and being able to look into that heritage and know what you're doing, as well as the research and the time and energy that's put in. What else do I have? Anybody on the line wanting to talk about backyard breeding, wanting to talk about nutrition, wanting to call in and ask any type of questions, we're open for Q&A. We got about 5 minutes left in the show, I believe. 516-387-1955. I hear something. We have a caller on the line, John.
Yeah, I think you covered a lot. You sound real good. I appreciate all the input you gave. Nutrition is a good thing to cover as far as it's a lot of backyard breeding going on. Just a lot of people just want a nice looking dog, don't know the background and all the work that takes into doing this. We're here to better the breed, you know. But I see a lot of people just trying to make a quick buck, like you said earlier. But I really appreciate all the input you gave.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And make sure you guys are adding our Facebook page, Houston Pit Bulls and Bullies. We're always on there. We're posting different things about education. Every week we're going to tune into this show. We're going to have a different topic. We're going to have our dog of the week. In the future, we hope to promote litters and different people who have bully-related items. So you guys definitely need to tune in every week. We'll be with you next Saturday, and I'll have my co-host with me then to help me out on this conversation. So call in, tune in, join our Facebook page, And we definitely look forward to talking to you guys. It's all about education, promotion of the breed, and getting, you know, breed knowledge in, out there. We love our bullies, and we hope you do too.
I'm in love with the Coco. I'm in love with the Coco. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the Coco. I'm in love with the Coco. I'm in love with the Coco. I got it for the Lolo. Turn up. I'm in love with the Coco. Hit my plug, that's my cholo. Amigo, cause he got it for the Lolo. If you snitchin', I go loco. Hit you with that 38. Niggas thinking that I'm solo.